O sacrament most holy, O sacrament divine, all praise and all thanksgiving be every moment thine. O sacrament most holy, O sacrament divine, all praise and all thanksgiving be every moment thine. O sacrament most holy, O sacrament divine, all praise and all thanksgiving be every moment thine. Dear brothers and sisters, we're journeying through the beautiful feast of the presentation of the Lord in the temple. Now, we have heard that Jesus was offered in the temple, but in accordance with the law, even though he was not bound by the law. Jesus did not need to be offered in the temple. He could not be bound by the Old Testament law that stated that every firstborn male must be redeemed by a sacrifice and offered to the Lord. The law recalled the ransoming of the firstborn of Israel by the blood of a lamb prior to the Exodus, the leaving of the Hebrew people from slavery in Egypt. And in this way it points to Christ, for he is the one who is signified by the Paschal Lamb. St. John the Baptist rightly called him the Lamb of God. The law is fulfilled, therefore, in Christ, and he is the author of the law. He is not bound by it. So why was Jesus offered? St. Bernard of Clairvaux sheds light on this mystery for us. He was offered, he says, because it was his own will. For today, in effect, he was not offered because he needed to be, nor because he was subject to the law, but because it was his own will. And on the cross, likewise, he will offer himself, not because he was deserving of death, not because his enemies had power over him, but because it was his own will. These words of St. Bernard beg the question, why then did Jesus will to be offered, will to die? He tells us himself that he received a command from the Father, a command that entailed this offering. And St. Paul, in his letter to Timothy, the first letter to Timothy, says, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. In another New Testament letter, that to the Hebrews, we read, by a single offering, he, that is, Christ, has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Now, in this offering, notice that there is reference to the Father's will and reference to the will of the Son. It is important to note that Jesus' human will is one, perfectly one, with the divine will, the will of God. How many wills are there in Christ? Two. One divine, God has a will, the divine nature. Will is identical with the essence of God, as are all his perfections. The divine will. And then there is also in Jesus a human will, because he had a human soul. And this is incredibly important, because our salvation depends on the acts of this human will. Jesus' human will is perfectly in harmony with the divine will of God. St. Paul, in this letter to the Hebrews, writes, it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings thou hast not desired, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings thou hast taken no pleasure. Then I said, lo, I have come to do thy will, O God. A reference to the will of God. But notice what is written just after this. Lo, I have come to do thy will. He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now clearly this offering took place through Jesus' acceptance of the divine will. In this perfect obedience, there is perfect love and there is perfect redemption. Now, dear brothers and sisters, in all of this, we have a very important lesson. And it has to do with the cross and how the cross is present or accepted in our will, in our choice to follow Christ. Apparently, in the temple in Jerusalem, there was found at some point a 12th century manuscript containing chants of the Knights Templar. And in the chants, we read these beautiful words: Crucem sanctam subiit, qui infernum confregit, accinctus est potentia, surrexit dietertia, alleluia. Lapidem quem reprobaverunt edificantes factus est, caput anguli, alleluia. He suffered the holy cross, who destroyed the power of hell. He was girded with power. He rose again the third day. Alleluia. The stone that the builders rejected became the cornerstone. Alleluia. Now, dear brothers and sisters, the point is this. Christ, having triumphed through his will, by his obedience to the Father over the powers of darkness, we too have access to a full and complete and perfect triumph over evil in ourselves, in the world, in respect of the spiritual forces of evil in the air, that is, the devils, the many of them that try to tempt us away from the following of Christ. This triumph over evil always involves the cross. When we grasp the cross, we are victorious against evil. But what do we mean by grasp the cross? It means sharing in Christ's victory by accepting a share in his death. We do this by faith working through love. Now, in this working out of love on the basis of our faith, there is ample scope for an experience of sharing in Christ's death. For two reasons. Most of all, because Christ, in his obedience to the Father, has shown us everything about what love really is. But also because perfect charity is opposed to evil, wherever we find it, in ourselves or in the world. And so in this living out of love on the basis of faith, there will always be an experience of the cross. The cross as pattern of perfection, and the cross as something that we really suffer. Because to really love means to really overcome evil, and that includes our own weakness. That includes our own tendency to want to say, I will seek my own good and not that of my brother. Dear brothers and sisters, when we believe and our faith becomes the foundation of that transformation into Christ that love works, then indeed we descend with Christ into death. But our love is stronger than death, and like Christ, we will rise again girded with power. Indeed, this is true even now in some sense, but especially is this true after our physical death in the life to come. For which reason, St. Paul says in his first letter to the Corinthians, So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Now, dear brothers and sisters, we have a perfect model of this desire to follow Christ and all that that entails, the conformity of our will to the will of God after the pattern of Christ, who chose to offer the sacrifice that the Father would give him to. We have a perfect model of this after our Lord Jesus Christ in the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mary participated in a unique way in Christ's offering. It was, in fact, in the episode that we celebrate liturgically today, the presentation at the temple, that Mary heard these wonderful and terrible words of Saint Simeon. "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against, and a sword will pierce your own soul also, that thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed." St. Bernard comments, "This offering, brethren, seems gentle enough. It is only brought to the Lord, redeemed with some doves, and carried out at once." He's speaking of Jesus' offering in the temple. "But the day will come when this son will no longer be offered in the temple, nor in the arms of Simeon, but outside the city and in the arms of the cross. The day will come when he will no longer be redeemed with the blood of a victim, but when he will redeem others with his blood. That will be the evening sacrifice. This is the morning sacrifice. This is joyful, but that one will be more complete, offered not at the time of his birth, but in the fullness of manhood." Now notice that expression, "the fullness of manhood." We can say that Mary too offered that sacrifice in the fullness of manhood, if we understand by that in the fullness of